Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've heard from Bill and Gary. Now it's time to hear from the players inside the locker room. It's Green and Gold Overtime with Joe Zenzola on The Fan.
Good evening. Welcome in for those of you listening on the radio.com app across the state of Wisconsin. For those of you here in Milwaukee, staying up late tonight. I know a lot of you are driving back to this snow. Just be careful out there. I'm guessing the roads aren't great. But welcome in. Burning the midnight oil here on The Fan. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola. This is Green and Gold Overtime. Sam Schmitz producing. And we got a lot to get to here in the next hour or so and taking your calls. At 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, your Packers advancing to the NFC Championship game, going to play the San Francisco 49ers next week out in Santa Clara. 28-23 was the final over the Seahawks. I don't think this game was an ugly win. I think that's the first time we can say that after the last few weeks, how these games have played out. I know it got a little uneasy in the fourth quarter, and the defense, who had done a very good job in the first half, got a little gassed after Russell Wilson was finally able to break free. I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers here, and it just felt like Russell Wilson tonight ran for over 100 yards. At the end of the day, it was 7 carries, 64 yards, but he averaged 9.1 yards per carry. Felt like he was running even more than that, but the defense could not get off the field. The defense did a good job keeping Russell Wilson, you know, behind the line of scrimmage for most of that first half. The pressure was there. They were dropping a lot of guys back in coverage because they wanted Russell Wilson to throw that football. Again, first half they did well. Second half it wasn't the case, and we still saw some really good possessions from the offense in the second half, but again, down the stretch, when you needed the offense to soak up more of that clock, it was a little harder than maybe what it should have been. Yeah, we all as Packer fans had to sweat that one out, and I know some of you, the thought crossed my mind at one point that, please don't choke, please don't choke, please don't choke, please don't do this again against Seattle, please, 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 please don't make this the Russell Wilson game. That was the only guy that really needed to beat you tonight. Russell Wilson. With all the injuries that the Seattle Seahawks have had, the more I thought about this game going in, beginning of the week it was, I think this will be a close game. You got to give Seattle a lot of credit. But more and more injuries this team has had, what they've had to go through, and then you look at the Green Bay Packers, and you look how healthy they've been, how lucky they've been this season. As we got closer to kickoff, I thought, you know what? I'm feeling kind of good about this. And thankfully, it was a positive outcome. And here we are, looking ahead to the NFC Championship game with Matt LaFleur in his first year as a head coach. Wow. Man, what a year of difference. It is pretty wild. Guys, again, did not expect this. Did not expect this. You were expecting this. I don't know what you were smoking at the time. Maybe I should have been partaking in that because I did not see this coming. And the Packers are, yes, the underdogs. Considering how they got slapped around in that game 2 months ago out in San Francisco, yeah, they are underdogs in this game. But I think you could ask anyone in that locker room. We're going to hear from a lot of Packers coming up here. But if you ask any of those Packers right now, you know, how do you feel about being the underdog in this game? I think a lot of them will tell you, we don't care. We just don't care. we know what happened to us in that last game. We were embarrassed. And believe me, there will be a better brand of Packer football this second time around. Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator of the 49ers, you better have some kind of game plan for Devontae Adams. That's the first thing. He better be watching as much tape as he can on Devontae Adams, because Devontae owned it tonight. Tonight was one of those games where you're watching Devontae Adams and he's putting out these ridiculous double moves and he's got all of this space around him. I mean, these Seahawks DBs, and I think this is a good group of Seahawks DBs. It ain't Legion of Boom, but it's still a good group. They had no answer for Devontae tonight. Devontae schooled them. With everything Devontae put on tape tonight, it's going to have the 49ers thinking a lot about how to stop him. And believe me, this 49er defense, they're a little bit better than Seattle's defense. And Seattle has a respectable D. But the 49ers, they are fully healthy now on both sides of the football, including their defense. But they're going to have to really figure out how to keep Devontae Adams in check. Because, look, tonight was a night where I'm sitting there watching this game and I'm thinking, you know what? Rodgers could target Devontae 30 times. I don't care. The Seahawks have no answer for him. Just keep throwing the football to him. And yes, there were at times in this game where Aaron Rodgers was holding onto the football a little too long. But Aaron Rodgers, he needed to do what he had to do. And if Devontae was open, he was certainly going to throw him his way. In the end tonight, Devontae Adams had 8 catches for 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. His longest was just this ridiculous 40-yard touchdown in the third quarter after Seattle got on the board with their first touchdown of the game. And it made it 21-10. The Packer offense needed to answer back, and they did in a huge way, and it was courtesy of this.
Second down and 6. Pass wide open. Adams makes a catch, makes a move, sprinting for the end zone.
That highlight courtesy of Fox Sports. That was just crazy. Crazy. I mean, just the double move. Crosses right, then crosses left, then goes vertical for the catch, then puts his foot back in the ground and goes cuts right again, and then goes all the way to the end zone on an angle to just separate himself from the two DBs. Was just incredible. I don't think that toe is bothering Devontae Adams anymore. Remember when he had the turf toe? Remember how all that went down? And how worried we were about Devontae Adams and whether or not this was going to linger with him. Well, that dude had no problem tonight putting his foot in the ground. Just owned him. It was this weird, like, rub route. I mean, Geronimo Allison was talking about it after the game.
Hey, 17 is a bad man. A bad man. I'll be worried about him, too. And then it was just so happened that, you know, I executed my route to perfection. I was open, too, available. So Aaron had 2 targets, and he felt comfortable putting it outside to 17, and he finished the ball.
Geronimo, had you guys run that yet this year? Was that new?
We haven't put that out there yet. So it's out there now.
Timing.
It's out there now. But
yeah, the fact that there's tricks, many tricks, hopefully, in Matt LaFleur's bag at this point of the season, that is promising as well. Again, it's going to be interesting to see what Matt LaFleur is going to scheme up this time around with the San Francisco 49er defense right in front of him. That's going to be very interesting. But there was definitely a lot of creativity tonight from the Packer offense early in the game, later in the game, especially in that situation with that crazy rub route and that double move from Devontae. But it was a big night for Devontae Adams, and they certainly needed him. And Aaron Rodgers, again, you look at the numbers for him, it's not bad at all. Again, better than that Detroit game. You know, Rodgers said after the game tonight that, you know, he wasn't himself. He felt like he played okay, but again, he was missing his touch a lot in Detroit. Tonight, that wasn't the case. And you look at Rodgers, he was 16 of 27 for 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He had a passer rating of 113.7. Overall, a very good performance. And I think one of the biggest things that I took away from this game, from this offense, was the constant execution on third down. Packers were 9 of 14 from third down tonight. That is the biggest key, I think, to the win. It isn't just Devontae going out there and having this ridiculous game, but it was the fact that, especially late in the game, where you needed to execute some crucial third downs to keep the chains moving, to continue to run out that game clock, you did that. You did that in a big way. Third downs in the first half, where you were able to put up 21 points on Seattle after halftime, a lot of that was courtesy of crucial third down plays. Hey, if the Packers can go 9 of 14 against San Francisco next week, they're going to have a pretty good chance. And defensively, let's flip over to the defense for a second. Again, the defense got gassed. Russell Wilson was trying to have a vintage performance because literally this was a game that Russell Wilson had to put on his back. He knew that if he didn't have a big game, Seattle was going to have no chance that this game would be over early. And in the second half, he got unleashed. The Seahawks were trying to do everything they could by, you know, spacing out everyone, spreading out the receivers, getting them deep, creating all this space in the middle of the field. So if Russell Wilson could break free, he was going to be able to run as much as he could. And it worked. It worked a lot, and it was hard for that defense to get off the field and to stop some of those drives. In the first half, though, that was something else. To see some of these guys getting home on Russell Wilson, to see him get uncomfortable, to see your DBs make some plays. I mean, Jair Alexander had a big play where Russell Wilson's rolling out, and he's got all the time in the world. He throws down the field. DK Metcalf is there on the perimeter, and Jair is able to break up a big play. Kevin King had a chance at a near pick early on in that game. That really could have changed the tone early on. But Russell Wilson was uncomfortable, and that was because of your defense. And then when it mattered the most, late in that game, when you needed someone to get home, and believe me, the Smith brothers, there were a few times in the second half where they almost got home on Russell Wilson, and he was able to escape the pocket and get a first down. When it mattered the most, Preston Smith finally came through with a huge, huge sack on Russell Wilson on third down.
Third down and five. Russell Wilson is sacked by Preston Smith.
Big, 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 big. And then your offense gets the ball back, and Jimmy Graham gets the first down, which, by the way, let's talk about that for a second. So when we were watching the game, we're looking at that first down marker because, again, they always say that the yellow line is unofficial, right? But we always believe that it is official because in this day and age, that's just how we watch football. And that's how we're looking at it on TV. We're not really looking up at the top of the camera to see where the actual first down marker is. We're looking at the yellow line. That's just what we do. We've been doing this for how long since they created this? And really, this has been going on now for 20, 30 years, it feels like, that they've had the yellow line. Well, Seattle fans seem to be pretty pissed, and they felt like the refs screwed them. But after further review, Andrew Brandt was the first one to show this, you know, former Packer VP. He put this out there, and if you look at the camera, and you look at where the yellow line was literally half a yard ahead of the first down marker. So it was off. And a lot of people were jumping to conclusions because they didn't see, they weren't paying attention to where the actual marker was. Some of the angles were just focused on the yellow line and it wasn't even in the shot. But yes, Jimmy Graham did get the first down. Jimmy Graham had a good night. How about that dime Rodgers threw to Jimmy Graham on another crucial third down for 27 yards? And he caught it. Jimmy Graham made a couple of really nice catches tonight. And again, I don't think Jimmy Graham is coming back next season. I just think if the Packers want to try to create any cap room to get another impact player on this team, I just don't think Jimmy Graham is going to be in the cards considering how much money they're paying him and, you know, the production he's gotten this year. But Jimmy Graham made a couple of big catches tonight when it really mattered the most. And for a guy that's making all that money, he better catch it. He better. One other thing I'd like to talk about before we go inside the Packer locker room. Again, this is Green and Gold Overtime Radio Joe with you as the Packers advance to the NFC Championship game, knocking off the Seahawks tonight 28-23. Thanks for staying up late. The other thing that I found to be quite mind-boggling was the fact that Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers was there tonight. Now, I just want you to think about this for a second. So Anthony Davis last night was in Oklahoma City playing against the Thunder for the Lakers, right? Tomorrow, the Lakers are back in LA hosting the Cavs. So they had an off day today. And Anthony Davis got on his private jet. He brought Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, maybe more. Those are the guys that I know of as of right now. But he brought those guys. He said, hey, you guys want to go up to Lambeau Field tomorrow, go catch the Packer game? I know we got a game in 2 days, but hey, I got this private jet. Let's go. Let's go check out the Pack. So Anthony Davis showed up tonight with three other guys from the Lakers. He's on the field before the game. He's wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey. There's a shot. Paul Henning had tweeted this out, formerly Save Our Bucks. He tweeted this out of Rodgers and Anthony Davis hugging. Now, I don't know what Rodgers said to Anthony Davis. It might have just been, hey, what's up? How are you? Blah, blah, blah. But let's all keep in mind that Aaron Rodgers is indeed a minor owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. Just saying. But I found it really interesting that on an off day, when you've got a game the next day in Los Angeles, that four Lakers show up to that game, including Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis must like Wisconsin. He has to. I mean, we always talk about the Dallas Cowboys being America's team. Come on, the Green Bay Packers are also America's team. They might actually be more popular than the Dallas Cowboys right now, all things considered. When you got a guy like Anthony Davis, who has no connections at all to Wisconsin, shows up in Green Bay right in the middle of the regular season when he should be getting ready for the next game. No, he spends his off day coming up to coming up to Green Bay to visit the Green Bay Packers. Now, let's also keep in mind that Anthony Davis does have a player option for next year that he could opt out of. Now, again, I don't know where the Bucks would have money, but you do remember when Giannis said last year to Anthony Davis, hey, come play in Milwaukee. We'd love to have you. I just think that's kind of cool. I don't know if that changes anything. I don't know if Anthony Davis has other intentions. I'm sure if the Bucks beat the Lakers in the NBA Finals, that could maybe sway him a little bit. I don't know. I just think that was so cool. And hopefully Anthony Davis and the three other Lakers that were with him tonight, hopefully they're able to get out of Green Bay because it is snowing up there right now. I mean, I got to think the Seahawks are going to be able to get out of town too, but it was snowing in Green Bay right after the game. And those guys, they got shoot around tomorrow morning. Are they going to be able to get back to LA in time? I don't know. It's crazy. There's just so much. There was so much to take away from this game tonight. And by all means, you guys can call in at 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Just so much to take away from this one. And it is pretty extraordinary to see this team now one game away from the Super Bowl. Just one. Here we are again. Maybe this is the time that things will turn around for this Packers team. Maybe being the underdog in San Francisco is actually a good thing. We shall see. We're going to hear from a lot of guys inside the locker room tonight. Coming up on the other side, I want to hear what the Smith brothers have to say because they have been the leaders of this team this season. And I think it's been very important to not just, you know, have Matt LaFleur as one of the voices, but also to have guys that have really embraced the role and to be respected. I mean, these two guys have combined for almost 30 sacks this season. huge signings, the biggest signings of the year for the Packers. We will hear from those guys coming up. It's Green and Gold Overtime Radio Joe with you. Packers win tonight 28-23 on their way to San Francisco. It's Green and Gold Overtime here on The Fan. Radio Joe with you. Packers winning 28-23 over the Seattle Seahawks at Lambeau Field as they advance to the NFC Championship game. I still can't believe I'm saying that. Giddy as a schoolboy. Taking your calls at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. I am willing, I've done it before, this is like the fourth or fifth show we've done for these night games. When we do Green and Gold Overtime, I am scheduled to go until 1 a.m., but I am willing to go later if you guys are. So again, we're taking calls up till 1 a.m. We're going to go inside the locker room here in just a minute, hear from the Smith brothers. Let's go to Arlene on the west side. Arlene, thanks for staying up late. You're on Green and Gold Overtime.
Hey, how are you? I just wanted to make some comments here in regards to after halftime, got back out on the field and just seemed like they were laying back, and here's Russell Wilson running all over them, making three touch, you know, downs one after another. So I wanted to talk about that and the momentum of Russell Wilson and what happened to the Packers. Why were they doing this? They do this quite often, you know, after they get a good run, then they'll lay back. Talk to me about them. I'm going to get off the line. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a really good question, Arlene, and thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. No, I mean, this was the thing after the after halftime. Erin Andrews was reporting about it, and, you know, she talked to LaFleur, and the message was simple from LaFleur is just keep doing what you're doing. I mean, there's nothing else really to be said. Just go out there and keep doing what you're doing and make Russell Wilson uncomfortable. Make him want to throw the football. Just don't let him escape. And the biggest adjustment that the Seahawks made offensively was they were stretching the field as much as they could to try and give Russell Wilson the opportunity to run. I mean, you saw in quite a few situations where guys who were assigned to spy on Russell Wilson had to make some decisions. Because they're the ones in the middle of the field. They're the ones protecting. They're the ones watching Wilson. Because if he escapes, now it's on them to try to make that open field tackle. I mean, there was one situation where Oren Burks, he's out there. And we know Oren Burks hasn't gotten a ton of experience this season because they really haven't gone with two inside linebackers much. It's been Blake Martinez and that's it. But Oren Burks was in situations where, you know, he sees a running back rolling out. Well, is he going to go and follow him? And does he break away from Russell Wilson? Or does he try to stay forward? And now he's kind of left out in no man's land. And Russell Wilson sees Oren Burks taking a few steps back. And now that's his cue. Now he can burst and he's got, you know, 10 yards in front of him to run. And now it's like, okay, someone go get me. We saw a few of those situations tonight. So then when you mix that with allowing the offense to stretch out that field and give Russell Wilson some more space to run, now all of a sudden this defense is getting gashed and they're getting tired. And now they can't get off the football field. And when they are looking at a third down situation, they're having a hard time trying to just stop them there. And that was pretty frustrating. The one thing we've known about this defense this season is they're not great. They're not bad. They're a good, solid defense with flaws. That's the best way to say it. If they didn't have the Smith brothers, this football team is not in the NFC Championship. This football team is probably not even here. This football team is lucky to eke into the playoffs if they didn't have the Smith brothers, which again goes back to this is why you sign free agents. This is why you put veterans around an aging quarterback. Because again and again and again, Aaron Rodgers does not have to do it all himself anymore. If you don't have the Smith brothers on this football team this season, the Packers are not where they are. They're not. Probably not a playoff team. I don't think they are. The Smiths have been too huge, both on the field and off the field. You needed these guys. You needed a pass rush because you haven't had it for the last few years, and you finally have it. And again, these guys have combined for 30 sacks. Just incredible. 414-799-1250 is the phone number. Let's hear. Well, first, actually, I want to play this, and then we'll hear from the Smith brothers. But this was the first sack that Za'Darius Smith had. And this was a guy who told us the media and told you, the fans, that, oh, I don't care about being an all-pro and I don't care about being a pro bowler. Well, this happened.
Second and 10. Wilson pulls it down, takes off. Got back to the line of scrimmage, third and 10 coming up. Za'Darius Smith made that tackle.
He was snubbed.
Yeah, and I agree with him. You know, when you consider his year, and we saw him play a lot, and for a guy that, you know, he can make an argument that he should have been all pro. I mean, for all that he was able to do for this defense, led the team with 13 and a half sacks, and the play that he just made, he made every week watching him. He is a force.
Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on Fox with that one, and yeah, he was snubbed. This guy's having a hell of a year. So I'm curious to see what Za'Darius Smith as well as Preston Smith had to say in the locker room after the game, because they are a treat to listen to, the leaders of this Packers team. Here's what the Smith brothers had to say.
Pat said you're going to do the most running all season tonight. Did you do the most running all year tonight?
Yes, sir. I feel like, man, that quarterback, Russell, man, he's a great quarterback. And he knows how to scramble. What else?
Everything get out of the pocket, man. Hey, it definitely was a cardio test. Our cardio and our endurance got tested tonight.
Yeah.
We answered tests. We right. Passed it. Did good.
What was the saying that you said? It was like chasing a chicken.
Oh, it was like chasing a chicken in the field, no fence.
That's it.
No YouTube.
Preston, what'd you feel your last sack?
What's with all the chicken references
man,
tonight?
Fire, man. I got to him. It got him down. You know,
we'll talk about that
play
later.
For our defense in that moment in the game.
Sure.
It helped us get off the field, get the ball back to our offense for them to move the ball down the field and get us in a winning situation.
Man, and that being said, on the sideline, hold on, give me a sec. On the sideline, he kept saying, man, I need to make a play. And it came down to the last play, man, and that was a big play for the team.
I appreciate you, bro.
For sure.
Darius, can you just talk about the whole defensive effort, the way you guys played, trying to chain Russell and well, the big one to get that ticket?
The main thing was at the beginning of the week who he was going against. You know, we had to contain him. You know, he's a guy that can scramble and move around if the pocket open. So we had a couple of those, man, but we kept our cool, man, and we just went to the next play. And as you can see, we came out with the victory.
How's the feeling going to NFC Championship? I mean, all that work in the offseason that we can put together, you two going to NFC Championship.
Yeah.
How's that feel? What's your emotion right now?
Stop before you make them cry, man.
Man, chill out. Chill out. Man, it's a great feeling, man. I think when we first signed here, I talked to P and all the free agents that was here. And I said, man, we got the opportunity, man, to do something great around here and to have a legendary quarterback like 12, man, and the whole offense and defense, man, it's coming together, man, and I'm just glad the world's seeing it now.
Preston, you?
Man, it's an electrifying feeling, man. It's almost inexplainable for us to come together in our first year with the team.
For
and,
sure.
You know, get to know these guys. These guys embrace us, embrace our leadership, embrace us on this team, and treat us like brothers and bring us in, you know, and make us feel so comfortable to be ourselves here. We make them feel to be themselves here. And we also go out there, play together, and we go out there and get wins together. You know, people don't expect us for the first time, you know, teams getting put together like this with such a young group of guys on defense, you know, and us coming into a new team in a new environment. They didn't expect this out of us, but, you know, we expect this from the beginning.
Yeah.
We kept on working hard each and every day, each and every week from OTAs to now.
You talk about it's your first year. It's also Matt LaFleur's first year. What's his reaction in the locker room after the game?
He tried to stay poised, but we know it's eating him up inside not to be jumping around.
It was the cameras.
But he'll probably be jumping around and meeting tomorrow or something, hopefully. He better bring some excitement and some juice. Hopefully just get to Matt, bring some juice to the meeting tomorrow.
For sure, most definitely.
Darius, you talk about Aaron Rodgers. What does it mean to get a future Hall of Famer like that and back into another chance to get to the Super Bowl?
Man, it's big time, man. I think I talked to 12 a week ago, and he was just talking about this opportunity that we have to go all the way. And what he was saying, he was like, I hope you guys can bring me my second ring. And to hear that from him, man, it really hit me. than a soft spot, man, just because I get to go play for a guy like that, man. I get to go fight and have a brother like that on the team. So it's big time, man, and I enjoy 12, man. Each and every day while I'm at work. Yeah, for sure.
Man, he's a great guy, man. He's a great quarterback, man. He has great, you know, energy about every day. He attacks every day like a legendary quarterback. Yeah. He comes to work every day. You don't see him take no days off, no plays off. He's always, you know, locked in, trying to see stuff that can help him be better and help the team be better. And we appreciate a guy like him, you know, seeing him from the beginning when we walk in the door, you know, embracing us also, and him working hard and him being here every day of the offseason and putting in work to get better for the team.
What does it feel like to get another shot at San Francisco to get to where you guys want to go?
Man, you know, that's a great team, man. You know, the first one that we went against them, we lost. But we know a couple of keys. We know we're just going to keep reading our assignments with plays, you know. But we're going to come in tomorrow, man, and really watch that film, because I didn't get a chance to watch that game. Did you watch that game?
No, I seen it on TV.
Yeah. So
they played pretty hard. They did some good things.
Yeah.
They got guys, you know, balling out on both sides of the ball. So they got to come in here, you know, watch the film, and be critical of ourselves, and
for sure,
tighten up the plan going into next week against them.
Most definitely, because this win to go home now.
Yeah.
You guys won this game kind of like you won a lot of games throughout the regular season. Early lead, pull them off late. How much do you think it helped that you had experience doing that throughout the regular season?
We stay poised through all situations, and you know, we bend but we don't break. Something had big plays happen, we know what we got to do. We got to prevent them from happening all the time. We got to limit the explosive plays. We got to go out there and fight to the end of the game. No team is going to lay down and give up. We're going to keep fighting. And to the end, that team was a good team, great team. They was going to come out, and they showed they were not giving up until the clock hit zero.
Z, I got to ask you about the snub shirt.
Snub? Man, it's crazy, man, because the world knows now, you know. To come here, I was on a mission. You know, I wanted to do something great here, man. And out of my first year, I felt like I gave it all I got. But, you know, I came up short in those situations. Yeah, for, like, all the recognition. Pro Bowl, All Pro, all of that, man. But, you know, we're not even focused on that, man. We're worried about getting to the Super Bowl, baby. But the world knows what that shirt meant. Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it? What is it? Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith after the game. So are you mad you got snubbed or not? I love Za'Darius Smith. I love Preston Smith, too. These guys are just gems. And that's what you need to win a Super Bowl. You need players like this. You know, one of the biggest things, too, about this game tonight defensively, and, you know, you heard the guys talk about the whole, you know, bend but don't break. You know, it's become the biggest cliche for a defense now. But the one thing about tonight was this defense did not force any turnovers. Part of their latest success has been forcing turnovers. Now, again, we can talk about the first quarter. We can talk about that baloney. That was a fumble. It was a fumble. It was recovered by the Packers. There was no question about it. And yet, even the NFL officiating Twitter account came out, and they still stuck to their guns and said that there wasn't enough evidence. There was clear evidence. So, I mean, that should have been one turnover. And then you could also argue that Kevin King, with that missed pick early on in the game also, that should have been a turnover there. But you got through this game without forcing any turnovers whatsoever, even when things didn't look good in the second half. That's pretty big. Now imagine if you can force a couple of turnovers against San Francisco next week. Imagine if you're able to set the tone early, because one of the biggest things that happened in that game early on was a turnover, a fumble early. Then you lose Brian Bulaga on top of that. And that was the first thing I thought about tonight, too. Brian Bulaga was that late scratch because he just wasn't feeling good in warmups. He woke up sick this morning, he tried it out, and he wasn't ready. I was worried that offensive line was going to struggle. And they did struggle early, too. But they still managed to get down the field in that first drive and get a touchdown. And then the offensive line did okay after that. They didn't do really well when it came to running the football. I mean, Aaron Jones, I mean, he was stuffed a lot tonight. I mean, the Seahawks did a great job setting the edge on Aaron Jones. They kept him in check, but the offensive line held its own again tonight. It took a little bit, but they did okay. Wasn't horrible, even without Brian Bulaga. Hopefully Brian Bulaga will be healthy. Hopefully the offensive line will be healthy. Hopefully the flu bug will go away for this Packers team and it doesn't affect anyone else, because that has been killing them all week long. The Packers went 28-23. We are still taking your calls at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. It's Green and Gold Overtime. Radio Joe with you. We'll get to Mike. We'll get to David all on the other side of the break, and we'll continue to go inside the locker room. I am scheduled to go until 1 a.m. I am willing to go a little bit later if you'd like. Sam Schmidt's producing, I'm sure, doesn't want to hear that, but I'm willing to stick around because we want to be as local as we can here on The Fan. And have no fear here, in 4 hours or so, Ryan Horvath will have the Chuck and Winkler pregame show to get you ready, as we'll be talking Packers all day on The Fan. It is officially Monday now. So keep it right here. This is where you want to be as we talk Packers all week here. And again, you're listening to Green Gold Overtime. We'll have more right after this.
They're down in 7. Rodgers backs up, throws. Adams, touchdown, Green Bay.
8 catches, 160 yards, and a couple of TDs. You heard one of them there, courtesy of Fox Sports. Davante Adams, what a night, young man. You know, there's something that we should do this week on The Fan. Welcome back, by the way. It's Green and Gold OT, Radio Joe with you. Packers win 28-23 as they advance to the NFC Championship game. One thing we really haven't done on this station, and I think this could be a good topic, always thinking about, you know, new topics and what we can get into this week, because it'll be Packer talk all week. I wonder if you guys think Davante Adams is better than what Aaron Rodgers was throwing to in the past. Like, is Davante the best weapon Aaron has ever had? Can we say he's better than Jordy? Can we say he's better than Jennings? Can we say he's better than Donald? That is something that would be a really good conversation to hear. I would love to hear what Bill has to say about that. I would love to hear what the guys on the Big Show have to say about that. I would love to hear what Chuck and Bart have to say about that. I'm going to try and pitch that to all the shows, because we really haven't had that conversation. Yeah, Rodgers doesn't have the arsenal of weapons that he used to, but Davante Adams is just a stud. He is in that top tier of wideouts in the NFL. He is. He's earned that. I just wonder if he's the best weapon Aaron has ever had. 414-799-1250 is the number. Getting your reaction from this Packer win tonight. And really, thanks for staying up late if you are listening, wherever that might be. Some of you are probably still trying to drive back from Lambeau Field in this snow. I think it's still snowing out there. Let's go to Mike on the south side. Mike, thanks for holding. You're next up on Green and Gold Overtime.
Yeah, I just got yelled at for wearing out the third phone here on the batteries. I want to give a shout-out to the management here. Now, I was one of them. Let's get Khalil Mack, bust. Let's get Le'Veon Bell, bust. Let's get the receiver from Cincinnati. They wouldn't give him up. Here's Davante, okay? You follow me?
I'm following.
This management, you know, here's the Smiths. You know, they did a pretty good job. Jimmy Graham or Mike Daniels? What's Mike Daniels? Did he play this year? Good against the run. Traded him to, well, lost him to Detroit. Jimmy Graham, is he making $1 million this year, 1 year, right?
He's making $10 million this year.
Okay. Would you give – Packers got more money than the Pope. Would you give that $10 million for those two catches? Or would you give $10 million to Mike Daniels to stand on the sidelines and watch?
Well, I think at the end of the day, you go Jimmy Graham.
Yeah. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yep, absolutely, Mike. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, there's no question. Jimmy Graham is not who he is. He's a shell of himself. It's just reality. Age is catching up with him. He is not what you invested for. When the signing happened, I was ecstatic about it because, again, this organization doesn't do enough when it comes to signing free agents. And I felt Jimmy Graham had a shot with Aaron Rodgers, that this could work. And Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Graham both, I mean, they talk about how they are very close. They are good friends. But it's just never, it's never worked out the way you wanted. And when you've asked Jimmy Graham to go up and make a big catch, he hasn't been able to bring it in. At times he's had butterfingers, and it's pissed off everyone that's watching the game. Jimmy Graham is a shell of himself, but tonight was an example of, okay, yeah, you're overpaying him, but you need him to make some big catches when Aaron Rodgers is rolling out of that pocket trying to evade the pressure. You need Jimmy Graham to show up where he's got to make a 10 or 15-yard out route, and he's just got to be there to catch the football. Or Jimmy Graham is going down the seam, and he just needs to find a way to get open so Aaron Rodgers can throw it to a spot and he'll get it. It's all you really need from Jimmy Graham. And tonight, he made a couple of big catches when it really mattered, when you're trying to move the chains and you're trying to get down the field and put more points and put more pressure on the Seattle team to find a way to answer. Again, I don't think Jimmy Graham comes back next year. I think they're going to cut him loose. I think if there's two players that the Packers are certainly going to shed salary on, it's going to be Jimmy Graham and it's going to be Lane Taylor. I mean, we all forgot about Lane Taylor. I mean, he's done for the year. But you're paying that cat a lot of money, and I think you don't need Lane Taylor anymore. Elgton Jenkins has been phenomenal this year in the offensive line, and you have a chance to recoup some of that money and try to put that towards something else that you desperately need. Maybe an inside linebacker. Maybe they try to get some kind of inside linebacker free agent. I haven't had a chance to see what kind of free agents are out there this year, but that will be interesting, and that will be something we'll certainly be talking about after the season is over with. Hopefully, we're talking about Packer football here for a while, and that there's two more games. Well, one is guaranteed, but oh, there's another game down in Miami, Florida, that we'll be able to talk about and break down as well. David on the north side, you're next up on Green and Gold Overtime as the Packers win tonight 28-23.
Yes, I've been listening to you guys like Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham, wow, he came through tonight. I like what he did, the three catches. Made him look good. Like I said, he's been quiet, you know, in the regular season, but he's doing good. I think he's going to be a big factor in this San Francisco game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I saw him play tonight. He looked great. And Davante Adams, oh, my God, that dude was really – he was on. I mean, every time he got the ball, he was striving for extra yards. And he's super for Aaron Rodgers right now. So I see him doing some big things going in San Francisco. I'm too scared about San Francisco. They got that big defensive line. They're doing great, and I feel the Packers going to do. You know, I think the first time we went down there, we didn't have much of a plan. We went down there, and we got beat up real bad. That's what I saw. So, but I'm figuring this game, we'll go down there and we'll do something different. So I'm looking for Aaron Rodgers to really, really do something special. He looks like he's ready to do it.
Well, hey, David, I would be all for that, and thanks for the call. I mean, you think about the history that Aaron Rodgers has with San Francisco. You think about Aaron Rodgers, first of all, growing up as a 49er fan from Northern California. You think about Aaron Rodgers ready to be drafted by the hometown team, and then it doesn't work out, and then he falls, and then he ends up going to the Packers. And then you just think about this season alone with how he played and how that team played and how they embarrassed themselves on Sunday Night Football in Santa Clara. I think all those things have to snowball into some kind of vengeance game for Aaron Rodgers. If the Aaron Rodgers that we saw tonight is back in play for this game next week, I think their chances are pretty damn good. But again, there's so many things to account for with San Francisco. Their defensive front is outstanding. Their linebackers are outstanding. Their DBs are very good. Richard Sherman, I don't care what you say about him, Richard Sherman can still play football, and he's so, so smart. Can never rule Richard Sherman out. He's definitely not a shell of himself. I don't agree with that at all. That guy can still go out there and compete. But you got a lot to think about. I mean, this 49er defense is healthy. They're healthy for the first time in a long time. And Aaron Rodgers is going to have his work cut out for him. Maybe Jimmy Graham, maybe Matt LaFleur can continue to find ways to get Jimmy Graham open, scheme it up, get him open, and that's the guy to look to. Don't know. But I still believe that the Green Bay Packers will play much better football this time around. There's no way they're going to get embarrassed again against San Francisco. I don't see it happening. San Francisco, hey, they have their flaws too, and they've lost some games at home this year. You know, let's not act like San Francisco is unstoppable. Let's not act like San Francisco is the Ivan Drago to the Rocky Balboa. I don't think that. I think they're a very good football team, and I would put them ahead of this Packers football team right now, but I don't think there's that much of a difference. I don't think there's that big of a separation between the two. I don't. I think the Packers are going to come back and play better football here against San Francisco. 414-799-1250 is the phone number. I will hang around here past 1 a.m. So if you guys want to call in still, I'll take your calls. Again, try not to swear, because as I've learned doing this show, that there are some people, some night owls, that just don't understand sports radio etiquette and what you're supposed to do late at night. So again, just try to keep it clean. Should be positive. You should be happy. The Packers win 28-23. We'll have more of Green and Gold OT. And you know what? Jimmy Graham spoke. We'll hear from him coming up next.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure to wear some flowers in your hair.
I just want to say, you don't need to put flowers in your hair. It's okay. Free love in San Francisco, but you don't need to put the flowers in your hair. Welcome back. Packers win 28-23 in the NFC divisional game. They are on their way to San Francisco for the big rematch against the 49ers. An oldie but a goodie, Scott McKenzie. On Oldies 105.7 FM, The Fan. But yeah, this is pretty exciting. And if you're trying to get out there, I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I think if you were trying to plan a trip to San Francisco, you're pretty much screwed. Airfare is just crazy. I think it's going for like $800, $900 round trip now out of Milwaukee. And I think out of Chicago, too. I am actually, Radio Joe with you, by the way. I'm actually going to the NFC Championship game next week. I'm actually flying out with Mike Clemens. But what's happening is we are, because we were looking at airfare and we were trying to figure out what to do, we're actually going to drive to Minneapolis and fly from Minneapolis, which if you've made the drive up I-94 to Minneapolis, that's it's a little bit of a hike. It's like, what, 4.5 hours, I think, something like that. You know, I've done it before. I just hope there's no snow, because then we're screwed. But, yeah, so we're driving up to Minneapolis, and we actually got a good deal out of the Twin Cities. So that's how we're going to get to Santa Clara, and then coming back, same deal, coming back through Minneapolis and then driving all the way back down to Milwaukee. So, I mean, if you guys are trying to plan something out there, unless you've got a lot of money in your pocket, I think it's going to be tough. But I am expecting a lot of Packer fans at this game at Levi Stadium. It is a huge stadium, and there's a lot of games where they're not able to sell out. So you got to think about the Packer fans from Wisconsin, from the Midwest, a lot of Packer fans out in California. I think there's going to be a really good showing of Packer fans for the NFC Championship game. It is going to be a ton of fun. But yeah, good luck with that. Now, guy that we were talking about in the previous segment, Jimmy Graham, who had a couple of crucial catches in that game to keep drives going. Jimmy Graham does not talk to the media much. I believe he talked earlier this week, It's usually not often that Jimmy Graham will talk during practice week and then also talk after a game in the same week. Usually Jimmy Graham will talk and then he won't talk again for about 3 weeks. Well, this was Jimmy Graham. He spoke after the game. Take a listen.
Tell us all about it. So good on.
Yeah, you know, it's you know, I have a lot of, you know, I have a lot of great moments there, and you know, I got a lot of friends over there, but you know, obviously clearly special to you know, to have some of those catches and some of those moments and to be part of this win. You know, it's you know, for me it's we earned the opportunity to play another team and to play another week, and we're not going home, and that's just one more step closer to a ring. And so, you know, all our focus is going to be on San Fran, and just excited for the opportunity, really.
It seemed like all night there was something different about the routes or getting open. Were you just a little bit on tonight? You feel healthy, or was there something in the game?
Yeah. You know, I've been battling through some stuff, but really, you know, I mean, I've been here before, and you know, I mean, I know, you know, Aaron reached out to me and, you know, told me he needed me, so, you know, I just made sure I was ready and you know, made sure that I brought the juice and brought the energy. But, you know, I mean, the guys did awesome tonight. You know, it was a true team effort, you know, going out there. And, you know, our fans were amazing playing at home. And it's just a special one, it really is. And you know, now we have the opportunity to, you know, be one away from, you know, going back home to Miami. And you know, I mean, I love that city. So, you know, we'll look at this tonight and then move on, you know, and get ready for this battle next Sunday.
After they called it a first down, I saw you kind of got up on the bench and looking for some love there. But what is it like for you just kind of knowing that last catch cemented it for this team and your kind of play here with that as well for tonight?
You know, obviously, you know, to do it in the playoff game and you know, to do it against multiple teams. You know, when all the bright lights were on, you know, it's always fun, and you know, to get a crowd go crazy. So, but you know, it's awesome to be able to step up and be there for my guys and be there for my team. You know, I love these guys in here. You know, we've been through a lot this season, and you know, a lot of people really never really believed in us from the get-go. You know, from this off season, and you know, people say we went ugly, but you know, we're winning. That's all that matters.
You know what's coming next, obviously. Tremont said the defense is in a lot better place than it was last time you were in San Francisco. Where's the offense right now compared to that?
Yeah, we got to, you know, it's going to be a battle. You know, obviously, you know, I played in a big-time playoff game against San Fran before. And, you know, they're, you know, and they got a stout defense again. So, you know, to play against them for such a big game, for such a big moment, it's going to be special. You know, we're going to have to be on all the little things, you know. Really can't wait to get back here tomorrow and analyze what we did wrong today and correct it, man. We're just trying to get better and better each week. And, you know, we got one goal in mind. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow as far as the corrections go. But, you know, we're really looking forward to the opportunity to go back there and play some balls.
Jimmy, was there something specifically you saw in the defense that made you feel like you could exploit them on third down the way that you did?
You know, a couple times putting in motion, so, you know, we know it's not a man, and you know, it's just a great play call. You know, we on the long one, I think, down the hash from Aaron, just wrote me the ball, really. I mean, I didn't even have to catch it, just kind of landed. Let it right there in my hands, but he's, you know, special and such those big moments, you know, to have them back there, you know, just operating like he is, and, you know, it's just awesome to be a part of it, and, you know, awesome to step up for him.
You have made so many.
Two more for Jimmy, please.
How good did those three feel?
I mean, it's big, you know, it's you know, just 10 years for me, and, you know, I played in a lot of big games, and, you know, I always play my best, you know, there's a, like Mercedes said, when there's pressure and there's stress, and pressure is always good. So, you know, we're just going to make our corrections and move forward on Sunday in San Fran. So, we're looking forward to it.
How did it feel to have a game like this for you in the big stage to go ahead and punch your ticket to the NFC Championship game?
Yeah, it's big. You know, we, you know, I'm trying to get in Miami. You know, I'm trying to go back home. So, you know, to get the opportunity to do it on Sunday. It's gonna be a hell of a game, and it's gonna be a hell of a challenge for us. And you know, we're up for it. You know, we just gotta keep plugging away and keep learning. You know, I mean, you would think, you know, whatever, 14-3 now that, you know, that we're still learning, but we are, you know, we got a lot of young guys on this team, and, you know, now they got a taste of the playoffs. So now we got to take that experience and move it on to Sunday. You know, this is, that's what's great about the league, you know, is you know, each and every week, like this one with our young guys, you know, they learned so much today, and so we can carry that forward the next.
I was going to stay until 1 a.m. I'm actually going to stay a little bit later, and I'll end it when I feel like it. But that was Jimmy Graham after the game, talking about just a plethora of things, and we're taking your calls at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, whether you want to talk about Jimmy Graham or other good things from this offense tonight. Davante Adams, of course, had a huge night, 8 catches for 160 yards, 2 touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers with a 113.7 passer rating. He had a good night tonight. He was dropping dimes. A lot of that very encouraging. Keith on the south side, you're next up on Green and Gold OT.
Joe, I just want to say a couple of things. I think that 12 can still play the game as good as we all thought he could. As good as that offense is, I think if you get him another target, he just proved us right tonight. You know, I mean, he was killing it to Devontae. But something I want to bring up for the San Francisco game, I think you need to run that bowling ball, Jamal Williams, at those guys right up the gut. I don't even think he touched the ball tonight. And I think, you know, as small as AJ is, he just, I don't know, when we were running some of those outside plays, it didn't seem like they were going anywhere, you know.
No, the Seahawks were blowing him up. I mean, it was ugly. They were trying to do these pitches to Aaron Jones to get him in space a little bit, and they were just there to set the edge, and just they blew Aaron Jones up every time they tried that play.
They got some pretty good linebackers in Seattle, but I think, you know, you run Williams up the gut a couple times. They're big, if I'm not mistaken, all their defensive linemen, you know, Bosa and I can't even remember. I'm watching them play yesterday, but they're taller, lengthier guys. Where I think if you put big body on big body, that guard we got, that Jenkins, that's a man. I mean, that's a straight man. You run those guys right up the gut. You use those guards and all the big guys we got on their big guys. I think it'll offset some of that upfield rush that they're going to put on A-Rod. You know, I think that that's a way to kind of neuter them, so to speak, and slow that pass rush down and give Aaron Rodgers a chance to make a couple dumb passes, this and that. Williams is just such a tough runner. And I appreciate Jones because anytime he touches it, right, he can take it to the house. But Williams, I think, is the way to go next week. I want to say like 10 touches at least up the gut just to offset them, keep them on their toes.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting point, Keith, and thanks for the call. Thanks for staying up late. Yeah, Jamal Williams tonight, he only touched the ball twice. He had 1 carry for 3 yards, and he also had a catch for 9. And that's it. Yeah, did I miss something here? Jamal Williams didn't get hurt, right? I don't think he got hurt. Yeah, I mean, I think he was okay. And I mean, this is a guy that has been battling injuries this season, but yeah, there were points where you're trying to send Aaron Jones up the gut and that wasn't doing anything either. The Seahawks defense tonight did a tremendous job holding Aaron Jones. I mean, Aaron Jones was what? He had 21 touches. He had 21 carries for 62 yards. So that's what? A perfect 3 yards per carry. That's not good for Aaron Jones standards. Yeah, he had the 2 touchdowns, but when it came to establishing the run, you weren't really able to do that well with it tonight. I mean, that was just not there. And yeah, you're going to be going up against a really good defensive front. I mean, think about what the 49ers are going to throw at you. From Eric Armstead to Dee Ford to Quan Alexander, who came back, to Fred Warner to, you know, obviously Bosa, obviously Nick Bosa. I mean, that is just... If you thought Seattle's front was tough, woo. Yeah, so I don't, and that's the thing. I don't know how much you want to run the ball against that 49ers defensive front, but it was kind of odd tonight. That was a good point from Keith that, yeah, they didn't really use Jamal Williams much, and maybe you needed that change of pace a little bit to, again, get the offense going, especially in the second half. The offense in the second half wasn't necessarily the same offense we saw in the first half, but that was interesting that Jamal Williams didn't really exist much there in that game. And again, as far as I know, he didn't leave with an injury. So I'll be curious to see if someone follows up with Matt LaFleur tomorrow about that in his Monday press conference after they look at all the film. 414-799-1250 is the phone number, 414-799-1250. And also, going back to Jimmy Graham, we have on our Facebook fan page, if you go to facebook.com/1057FMTheFan, we got some fun things up there. The first thing is the Andrew Brandt tweet that I put out where if you didn't see it, you can see how Fox didn't have the yellow line where it should have been with that first down marker. Jimmy Graham clearly got the first down. The officials didn't screw it up. They got it right the first time. He did get the first down because that yellow line was clearly a half yard ahead of where the actual first down marker was. So for confirmation, and if you're somehow a Seahawks fan listening to this show, which I don't know why you would be, but if you are, just go to our Facebook page because that really... That confirms it. Okay, so just chill out. The other thing you can check out on our Facebook fan page is Anthony Davis showing up during the or before the game tonight. Yes, Anthony Davis of the Los Angeles Lakers. He played last night in OKC. He took a private jet with Rajon Rondo, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and JaVale McGee. Those are the four guys that I know about that were at the game tonight. And now they're going to get back on a plane and fly out to LA where they play tomorrow against the Cavs. So that's pretty crazy. You can see some of that video also on our Facebook fan page. Again, facebook.com/1057FMTheFan. Here's a guy I want to hear from. Now, he didn't really do much tonight. But remember, this is a guy that's been there, done that for the Packers. A veteran. Another leader on that defense, Tremont Williams. I'm curious to hear what Tremont Williams had to say after the game. So let's continue to go inside the locker room, hear from Tremont Williams.
And what are your emotions kind of knowing that you guys beat them and you're now back in this title game?
I don't know, really. I don't really have any emotions right now. You know, it's almost like I'm focused, you know, ready to move on to the next opponent more than anything. It was a tough team that we just played. We knew what to expect. We knew it was going to be a close game no matter the way it started. Russell is a great quarterback, man. You know, he did what he had to do to get his team back into the game, and that's what we thought he was going to do. And he's great doing that. So, but we had to lock in toward the end of the game, make the plays that we needed to make, and we did that.
Locking in, talking about Za'Darius and Preston. Obviously, Preston got that sack on third down to kind of give the offense a chance to win the game. Mm-hmm. How huge were those guys up front today?
Oh man, it was huge, man, and I knew they had to work for it. Like I said, Russell is an escape artist back there. I know they probably missed more sacks than they probably got. And that's how great Russell is. But those guys definitely is big for us up front. They've been doing it all year long. We count on those things for them to get to the quarterbacks at all time. And they're capable of doing that. So we're definitely going to need them in the upcoming weeks.
Devontae said he didn't feel like you guys came into the game in Santa Clara with a good kind of game plan and mindset. What is it like knowing you guys have another shot at the 49ers here?
It's great. Like I said, it's another opportunity. Like Devontae did say, we didn't play well when we went out there last time. But we feel that we're a better team today than we were then. And we continue to get better and better. We hadn't put our best foot forward all year long. And what I seen today, I saw a good all-around effort from everybody against a really good team. So, like I said, I feel like we're a better team right now than we were.
How about you personally? You've been in this game a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Oldest D-back, we talked about it, to really for yourself to go to the big game again, the NFC Championship game. What's this mean to you?
It's definitely exciting feeling, really, more than anything. I'm trying to stay even keel about it. I don't know if y'all see my demeanor. I'm trying to stay even keel about it because I know we do have unfinished business. We have a tough 49er team now who we did face earlier, and we understand that game is going to be tough just like every other game in the playoffs. We understand that, and we know we have to get prepared for that. We have to get mentally focused for that because we wasn't focused for it earlier in the year. But like I just said, I think we're a better team now, and we'll definitely put up a great fight.
Tremont Williams after the game, and let me just refresh your memory if it just didn't occur to you. The Packers have not lost since that game against San Francisco. I mean, they've won six straight. They have not lost in 7 weeks since that ugly game in San Francisco. You talk about momentum, and you heard what Tremont Williams just said. We are totally a different team than what we were the last time we went there. There's no question about it. And that's what's so nice. You can redeem yourself in the playoffs when you can get these rematches against uncommon opponents. And again, I feel in my heart to heart that this game is not going to be the 37-8 beating that the Packers got. This is not the same team. And if they've got to win ugly against San Francisco, then win ugly. I don't care how you win this game. Just win it and get to the Super Bowl and don't come up short again. I am begging for a Super Bowl. I am just you just don't know when you're going to be able to come back to this point. And we don't know how much further we can go with Aaron Rodgers. And we hope that a lot of these supporting pieces, again, a lot of these guys are under contract now for a long time, which is great. You just hope that these guys continue to bring it next season and the year after that, because Aaron Rodgers is only getting older. And it is nice, it is refreshing to not have everything rely on 12. But man, you are at the doorstep now. You are there. You can beat San Francisco. I think it's very possible. I'm not giving a prediction yet. I'll save that for the fan prediction video, which, by the way, we had an epic fan prediction video. I'm pretty sure everyone picked the Packers, but there were some things that we have never done in fan history in this fan prediction video. There were just some things that I think you need to see just for a good laugh. And you can do that, again, facebook.com/1057FM The Fan. We got the video there. You can also follow us on Twitter at 1057FM The Fan, at 1057FM The Fan as well on Instagram. That's where we are. And you can follow me at Radio Joe Sports. But, the fan prediction video might have been the best fan prediction video yet. So there's that for your consumption as well. But I just think, again, the Packers, it's there. The opportunity is there, and there have just been way too many letdowns in the NFC Championship game. The state of Wisconsin is craving a championship of any kind from any of our favorite teams. Maybe this will be the Packers' turn. Maybe they can get this done. I feel like they have a chance, but we shall see. We'll continue to go inside the locker room. I also want to hear again from Marshawn Lynch and try to decode what the hell he was talking about after the game. It's Grinnegold Overtime. Packers win 28-23. We got more coming up next here on The Fan. Time, welcome. We are live and local here on The Fan. Radio Joe Zanzola staying up late with you guys. Sam Schmitz producing. Packers win 28-23. They are on their way to California for the rematch against the San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium. We'll be talking about it all week here on The Fan. Don't forget the Chuck and Winkler pregame show coming up here in about, 3.5 hours? Yeah, wow, 3.5 hours. I'd love to, I'd love to stay local here for the rest of the night, but I just can't. I need to get some sleep. I got to produce the Bill Michaels show in a few hours, so it'll be okay. We'll be right back. But Ryan Horvath's got you covered with the Chuck and Winkler pregame show. Chuck and Winkler, that starts at 6 a.m. Chuck and Bart are going to have a lot to say about this Packer win. The Bill Michaels show statewide, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and of course the Wendy's Big Show with not one but two former Packers, including finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, Leroy Butler. He will have thoughts. He also, by the way, if you're not able to tune into the big show, he will be on Chuck and Winkler at 7 a.m. So got all these programming notes here on The Fan, but it is going to be a Green and Gold Monday, and we've got you here on The Fan. The Green and Gold Monday is now. But yeah, Packers back. I just, again, this is really hard to believe for me as a Packer fan to see this Packer team be able to bounce back after this, you know, playoff drought that we as fans have not been accustomed to for a while, and to be able to flip all of that around and to be able to be back in this position to be one step away from Miami for the Super Bowl. It is hard to believe. And again, it's not just one thing too that you can point to. It's not Matt LaFleur is part of this. The Smith brothers are part of it. Brian Gutekunst making decisions, signing free agents, signing the Smith brothers, that is part of it. Mark Murphy making the decisions, a guy that's been scrutinized enough here the last couple of years. Mark Murphy deserves credit. A lot of this collectively, you got to give so much credit to the Packers organization as a whole for being able to flip this thing around. Again, you could take certain things out of the equation, and they're probably not in the playoffs this year, but it has been a collective effort, and it has paid off, and it has done big things. Speaking of paying guys, Kenny Clark, we talk about trying to shed salary for next season. Kenny Clark will need to be paid. Kenny Clark had another good night tonight. He had a sack. I mean, he was looking really good. This is a man that you have to pay. Oh God, I don't want to do that. Sorry, mamas and papas, but you're done. Kenny Clark, he talked after the game. Again, guy that needs a contract extension. Take a listen.
Preston came around and got sick.
Sorry, this has been asked already, but you guys are the defense watching on the sidelines as Aaron kind of keeps you guys off the field there at the end. What were you thinking as he's going through that, and how big was that?
Tay caught that pass, and then, you know, that pass that Jimmy caught. You know, that's what great quarterbacks do, you know, and I'm just happy he's on our side. He's been making plays like that all year. Every 4-minute situation, every 2-minute situation at the end of the game, when we up, the offense usually, you know, runs out the clock and ends the game. And, you know, that's what great teams do. When they know you got to run out the clock and run the ball and all that kind of stuff, great teams finish that up.
Kenny, on your sack, you said you were gassed, but you missed once and you were able to get up and still get him. Mm-hmm. Where'd you find the energy for that? I mean, that was a heck of a hustle play.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about hustling when you're playing against him. You know, he's a great quarterback. He's going to run around. He's going to scramble. You know, coach has been preaching all week that, you know, if one guy misses or if you miss, you got to get back up. You got to keep on fighting. So, you know, we did that all game. We're just resilient, just giving as much effort we can, and you know, we came out on top of that.
Is that the play after the play that you guys are talking about all week? One of those?
Say it again.
You guys are talking all week about there's the play and then there's the play.
Oh, 100%. I mean, coach said, like, you know, we're gonna play a play and then we're gonna play a second play in the middle of it. So I mean that's the mindset you come in there with, and you know, you did a great job.
Congratulations. It's still fresh, you guys, going to the NFC Championship. You're going to face a team that you had your probably toughest game against this year. Mm-hmm. What type of challenges does that team
have? You know, they do a great job. Kind of keep you off balance with the run game and the play action game. So, you know, really, you know, you got to just play with great technique, play with great eyes. You know, never get out of whack. And just go out there and just finish plays, finish games. I think we had some good stretches defensively when we did go up there, and some plays they let them slip from us. So we gotta be great with our eyes, great with our technique, and you know, every play counts, man. You gotta just go out there, you know, high intensity, high effort, and you know, finish plays.
What do you think it was that had you guys struggling in California so much this year, and how are you gonna have to overcome that?
I don't know, but you know, I mean that's past us, man. We ain't thought about that. We've been on the roll ever since that game, and I'm excited, you know, to be able to play them again next week.
Again, six straight wins for your Packers since that loss in Santa Clara. Again, it's going to be completely different here for the Pack going into next week as they get prepared for this one. Okay, so there's something else we'd like to bring up here, and I'm going to try and decode this the best that I can. I will have a really nice nugget to go along with this, so I'm not going to rip on the guy completely. But Marshawn Lynch, who doesn't talk at all, I mean, his introductory press conference when the Seahawks brought him back 2 weeks ago, he went up there. They had the whole thing laid out. They had this whole press conference set for him. The media was there ready to go. Marshawn Lynch went up there for about 15 seconds and then walked off and he was done, because that's who Marshawn Lynch is. So this is what Marshawn Lynch said after the game tonight. And again, I was shocked to see him at the podium talking, but he had some advice.
I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies, you know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken, you feel me? Don't take care of y'all mentals, because, look, we ain't lasting that long. You know, I had a couple of players that I played with that, you know what I mean, they no longer here no more. They no longer. So, I mean, you feel me? Start taking care of y'all mentals, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken for when y'all, you know, ready to walk away. You walk away and you be able to do what you want to do. But I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Okay. Take care of your bodies. Okay, yes. Football's a violent game, and yes, you should take care of your bodies. And it is amazing that these guys can continue to take care of their bodies week in and week out. Okay? Take care of your mentals. Yes, when it comes to all the hits you're taking and how your body's affecting that and how you're going about things mentally, especially when you're taking hits to the head in this day and age where we've discovered CTE and what it can be. Yes, that is very important as well. I'm still trying to figure out this part, though.
I tell y'all right now, while y'all in it, take care of y'all bread. So when y'all done, you go ahead and take care of yourself. So while y'all at it right now, take care of y'all bodies. You know what I mean? Don't take care of y'all chicken.
What does that mean? Take care of your chicken. Take care of your breads and take care of your chicken. What does that mean?
I mean, don't take care of y'all chicken.
What does that mean? Sam Schmitz producing. What does that mean? What do you think that means? Take care of your chicken.
I have no idea, man. I mean, I get everything else that he's saying. Like, I think it's really good advice for young players.
Absolutely.
But when it comes to that, I'm trying to think, and there's just nothing that's coming to my mind right now.
Man, I can make a dirty joke on the air about chicken, but I'm not.
Hey, man, it's 1:30.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Come on, you probably know the joke I could tell about chicken, but I'm not.
Every other Packer player is making one. You might as well do it.
Nah. I'm not gonna do that. I'm not that filthy. But I don't know what that means. If you know what that means, take care of your chicken. You can tweet at me at Radio Joe Sports. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. But I will say this: there was something kind of cool after the game, and Matt Schneidman had it from The Athletic. Marshawn Lynch had walked into the Packers locker room with his jersey. He gave fellow Cal alum Aaron Rodgers a big hug. Rodgers took his jersey from his locker, and they just went down the hallway to presumably exchange and share some words. Hey, very cool. Very cool. You know, everything I hear about Marshawn Lynch off the field is cool. I know he does do a lot of stuff in the community. He's just, he could be a little bit more respectful to the media just by answering some questions. Again, this is me from a media standpoint. It would be appreciated. But he still can be a very classy guy, and that was pretty cool after the game. And I always love, too, after the game where these players are exchanging jerseys. It's become a big thing in sports nowadays, is exchanging jerseys. I don't think that's been going on throughout the test of time. I think that's been more of a recent thing. You know, NBA players do it, NFL players do it, soccer players and all over the world do it. That's a common thing as well. So that was really cool to see from Marshawn Lynch. But again, I'm just still trying to understand.
I mean, don't take care of y'all chicken.
I don't know what that means. Maybe I will sleep on it and come in tomorrow and say, I know what that means. But again, tweet at me at Radio Joe Sports if you understand what taking care of your chicken is. Again, the Packers win tonight in a big way, 28-23. We kind of had to sweat it out a little bit. Oh? That's right. That's where they're going. Hopefully, the Green Bay Packers are partying, hoisting the NFC Championship trophy in Santa Clara, getting the upset over San Francisco in the rematch. That is what we're all hoping for. Get back to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers needs another Super Bowl. We need another Super Bowl. We need another championship. And it would be good to do it in the place where you got embarrassed just 2 months ago. The winning streak, 6 straight wins for your Packers. Knocking off the Seahawks tonight, 28-23. We've got you covered here on The Fan. Again, 3.5 hours from now, Ryan Horvath will have the Chuck and Winkler pregame show, and then it's Chuck and Winkler, it's Bill Michaels, it's the big show. We've got you covered all day here on The Fan on a Green and Gold Monday, and really all week long. Keep it here for the best Packers coverage. That is where we are. And also, here's another tip, quickly, before I get out of here. There's no swearing in this song, right? I've got the clean version going.
Well, it's Dr. Dre.
Yeah, I know. But
fingers crossed.
And Tupac.
Yeah.
I picked the clean version, so I think we're good. It's also late. Where was I going with this? I'm getting tired now. I need more coffee if I'm ever gonna be able to do this until 5 a.m. till Ryan Horvath comes in here. I completely lost my train of thought, Sam. I just think it's just time to go. Oh, the radio.com app, you can rewind. So you can even go back to the Green and Gold postgame show. If you have to work late, if you're working overnights or you're still trying to come back from Lambeau Field from the snow, just go ahead and hit rewind and you can listen back to the last 3 hours of the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green and Gold postgame show with Bill and Gary. You can do that too. A lot of options. Consume us however you want. Thanks to Sam Schmitz producing. Thanks to all of our staff up at Lambeau Field getting the sound. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. This has been Green Gold Overtime. Live and local on The Fan. We'll talk to you here coming up at 5 a.m. But back to CBS Sports Radio. I'm sure Amy Lawrence has stuff to say about this Packer win.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.